Like any good Unitarian Universalist, on the way home after worship last Sunday, I was listening to NPR in my car. There was a woman who was speaking about her renewed sense of hope, which is just interesting, because last week's sermon was my attempt at a wake-up call of sorts about the challenges that we face in our world. The woman who was being interviewed was a Catholic, and she really felt that the new Pope Francis is bringing back hope to her faith. Pope Francis is saying and endeavoring to bring a pastoral presence into papacy. During the interview, it was confirmed that the Pope is sneaking out at night to bring alms to the poor. He has washed the feet of Muslim prisoners, invited the homeless to his birthday dinner, and is refusing all sorts of papal opulence. He has acknowledged both the sex and money scandals in the church, and has called them shameful, and is working to right the wrongs that have been propagated in the name of the Catholic Church. During that same interview, the woman who mentioned that Pope Francis is offering hope for adults. That concept just sort of stuck with me, this idea of hope for adults. What could that possibly look like? This morning, I'm going to share with you hopeful rhetoric and my thoughts about what it might take to inspire and change the world. In last week's sermon, I shared some fairly difficult facts about our world population, politics, pollution, and poverty. Four P's. At the end of the service, I invited those gathered to shout out and share things that we thought we could do to change our world and to change our behavior. Suggestions such as eating locally grown foods, riding a bike, walking, installing solar, and education were shared. But when I went downstairs to fellowship, people asked me what I thought might alter our trajectory. We talked about education and how those with less have access to cheap food, such as a burger and fries at McDonald's, but cannot afford to eat organically and locally grown. I shared that how what we all choose to eat affects us all and our ability to receive affordable health care. I shared my thoughts about community gardens and encouraging and teaching people to cultivate sustainable gardening practices, to educate about garbage, recycling. Where does that piece of trash go? To demand our power companies to embrace renewable energy, and to realize that wind turbines on the horizon, even in the midst of our view of the ocean, are pretty actually awesome to see. But during my ride home on Sunday, what I realized is that what people were really, really asking me was beyond the pragmatic question of what can we do, more along the lines of, where can we find a sense of hope? And not naive hope, which we usually experience as a Disney-esque fantasy of white knight riding in on his or her steed to save the princess or prince of the day, but something else altogether. Hope. You know, so I thought about it, and I thought about the last few years, and when did I feel that sense of hope and renewal in recent times? I remember how grief-stricken and beyond consolable I was after 9/11, 2001. The world, my world, had changed, and not in a good way. Safety was a nice notion that was only available to the naive and sheltered, which the North American public was no longer privy to. But then, struggling for a couple of years, 2004, a young man walked onto a stage at the Democratic National Convention in Boston. And I remember my feeling. Barack Hussein Obama, then 44 years old, he shared his vision of hope. He explained that in a generous America, you do not need to be rich. that we need to have faith in simple dreams and an insistence on small miracles. He explained that I am my brother's keeper, I am my sister's keeper, and that is the fundamental belief that makes this country work. It is what allows us to pursue our individual dreams and yet still come together as one American family. Hope in the face of difficulty, hope in the face of uncertainty, hope, the audacity of hope. In the end, he explained, that is God's greatest gift to us, a belief in things not seen, a belief that there are better days ahead. I believe that we have a righteous wind at our back, he mentioned, and we stand on the crossroads of history. We can make the right choices and meet the challenges that face us. Those at the convention were literally on their feet, chanting, Obama, Obama. And the camera flashed to Hillary Clinton. Her mouth was hanging open, agape. I was stunned. Here was a young man running for Senate that actually got it. How to inspire people. How to give people a sense of hope. What it meant to be truly optimistic and hopeful in the face of adversity and war and a stolen election. I believed in what Obama shared that day. We could make the right choices and meet the challenges that face us. Isn't that what we need to remember when we are so desperate for hope? We can make the right choices and meet the challenges that face us. That ultimately we can change and inspire and educate and compel one another to make those right choices to save this once great nation, inspire us to believe that in fact one person can make a difference and motivate enough of us to change ourselves and in effect, change our world. If we look back into history, and not that long ago, we can see another man who called for change and had a deep sense of hope, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a man we're celebrating tomorrow, a national holiday that marks his birth. He called the nation to share in his dream. He called the nation and said, "Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friends, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together." This is our hope. This is the faith I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of a mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we'll be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. Those words rang out across the mall in Washington, D.C. 50 years ago, and freedom has come, in a manner of speaking. Although it may not be perfect, we are working together to call out and refuse to tolerate racism, sexism, homophobia, and any persecution or oppression based on difference. With each new challenge that we face, we endeavor to understand what the right choice is and to embrace it. And that is good news. It's not easy, because many of us face apathy, critics and naysayers at every turn, but we have to have faith There are better days ahead. To endeavor on a daily basis to open our minds and our hearts and believe that change is, in fact, possible. I can change. You change? Change isn't that hard. It's just making up our minds. To be motivated when we feel the call, instead of fall silent, letting someone else carry the banner of freedom and sanity. I would admit that it is so easy to watch the news, read the paper, become disheartened, and tune out. But that is the exact time that we need to cultivate our hope most fervently. To grab onto and wake up that place that motivates us. I ask you not to turn away from the challenges of our world, but instead to turn into the challenges that we face. We cannot give up or allow apathy to rule the day. This world and our progeny needs us. The challenges that we face as a civilization are no different than the ones that have been faced throughout history. The fleeing from persecution, the challenges of the British or some other governing body trying to control and tax us into complacency, the challenge of our country being divided because of slavery or equality of any kind, the challenges of countless storms and natural disasters, and we have endeavored repeatedly to choose the right thing to do. And more than not, we've progressed on that righteous path. All of this gives me hope each and every day. I turn my eye back to history and I look at a man who came from humble beginnings, Abraham Lincoln, who thought beyond the limitation of humankind's imagination, shared in his closing remarks to the Congress in 1862. It is not, can any of us imagine better, but can we all do better? The dogmas of the quiet past are inadequate to the stormy present. The occasion is piled high with difficulty, and we must rise with the occasion. As our case is new, so we must think anew and act anew. We must disenthrall ourselves, and then we shall save our country. The world knows we do know how to save it. We even here hold the power and bear the responsibility. What important words. Boy, we could say them today, and they would have equal and deep as meaning as they did then. When they are offered during difficult times, those words from optimistic men and women, they can help us to find a place of hope from which to begin again. The language that is consistently hopeful is a language of faith, righteousness, and love. In the book, The Audacity of Hope, Obama explains that when we abandon the field of religious discourse, when we ignore the debate about what it means to be a good Christian or Muslim or Jew, when we discuss religion only in the negative sense of where or how it should not be practiced, rather than in the positive sense of what it tells us about our obligations towards one another, when we shy away from religious venues and religious broadcasts because we assume that we will be unwelcome, others will fill the vacuum. And those who do are likely to be those with the most insular views of faith, or who cynically use religion to justify their partisan ends. That is why we, Unitarian Universalists, are so important. Because we bring a view that accepts and is welcoming of a difference of opinion. We model the golden rule on a daily basis. We endeavor to bend that arc of history ever towards justice. My friends, we are making progress in this world. Some days it's absolutely magnificent how humanity is evolving towards a theology of love. When religions open their doors and say, welcome. When only 100 years ago, the only one who were saying welcome was us. Times have changed. Religion, at best, can provide a context for reflection and an avenue in which to find common language and ground to connect with one another in meaning-filled ways, to find and create those all-important glimmers of hope. Believe. Believe. Believe in our mind, our body, and our soul that we stand at the crossroads in history and we can make the right choices and meet the challenges that face us. We have at our fingertips the potential to create the world of our dreams. And I, for one, am hopeful that we will do just that. May it be so. Blessed be. Amen.